Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 6. We'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us here in our church. Lord, this morning in Sunday school, the property was alive and moving and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people being taught your word. Lord, we were all strengthened. And yet, because of our sin, we still stand before you needy. Now, Holy Spirit, please do what only you can do. Take the truth you've given our preacher, drive it into our hearts personally, and adapt it for that which we need today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'll read again to you one verse from the book of Ephesians. We read it together just a moment ago, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Where the Lord said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. I'll give a title to this morning's sermon. It is one word from that verse. The title is this, called. Called. You, Christian, have been called. I don't know if you know it, but you've been called. Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul. In chapter 4, we see God, through Paul, challenging the saved to serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us that we have been called to do something. You have been called by God. I'm not speaking primarily about the call of full-time service. That may be a part of this sermon, but I'm talking about your service to God. You say, but Brother Owens, I've only been saved a short time. Well, just so you know, God has called you to do something. You have a vocation. That word vocation there, it's a job or a responsibility. You have a responsibility for the kingdom of God, for the service of God, for which God has made you, prepared you, and saved you. You have a spiritual job description, if you will. You're to be a participator in the Lord's work, not just a spectator in the Lord's work. And he tells us then, he says, you're going to need to walk worthy of that calling. That's one reason why we get saved. We're to change our life, because that will help us to be worthy of the calling that he has given us. You see, there are some of you say, well, God's called me to do something, but Brother Owens, my life is in such disarray and it's messed up and I just don't feel like God could use me. Well, he tells us that he has something that he's called you to do, and he wants you to learn to walk worthy of your calling. In other words, you do what you can to get you on track so you can do what you're called to do. There are some behavioral requirements or responsibilities that go along with your calling. And he immediately mentions a very, very high priority. You'll hear it throughout the sermon this morning, but one of the high priority needs or responsibilities so that you can fulfill your calling is this. He says here, he talks about the word unity. He talks about not sowing discord among the brethren and in the church. In verse number 3 here, he says unity of the Spirit. In verse number 3, he uses the word bond of peace. He talks about someone that's peaceful among God's people, and they're binding people together. Then he starts using these words. In verse 4, he says, you're to be of one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called. He's saying, you're not going to find your calling if you can't get along with God's people. You don't usually find your calling in the church if you're causing disunity in the church. He uses in verse number 4, he talks about one hope, not five different hopes, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. He uses the words of all. That's a unity. Above all, there's unity in you all. And he says here, if you're going to find your calling, he said one thing you're going to have to be very, very careful of is that you learn how to get along with God's people and that you learn how to pull God's people together, not to separate God's people. You see, discord derails people from God's true calling on their lives. Discord destroys the call. Unifying helps to strengthen the call. You see, Moses heard and responded to the call from a burning bush. The Apostle Paul heard and responded to God's call while he was on the Damascus Road. Esther heard the call from God when she helped to save her fellow people by revealing Haman's evil plot to destroy God's people. Gideon heard God's call as he hid behind a piece of farm equipment. Peter heard the call of God when Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make ye fishers of men." Hey, Daniel heard the call of God when God instructed him to pray 3 times a day, even if it cost him to be thrown into the lion's den. Abraham heard the call when he followed God by faith to a city or to a land that he knew not of. Mary, she heard the call when an angel told her that her virgin body would carry the Christ child. Noah, he heard a call when God said, "Build an ark." We get the idea, you see, that the call of God upon a life only comes to the pastor or the missionary or the evangelist. That's not so. God has called people to build things. God has called people all the way through the Bible. God called what we would call laymen to a work. You have a call upon your life. There's something you are to do with your life. Noah heard that call when God said, "Noah, build the ark." Nehemiah heard that call when God said, "I want you to rebuild the destroyed walls around the city of Jerusalem." I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I'm going to do something. Brother Butch Berman, come up here for a second, would you please? He thought he was in trouble. And he may be. This man right here, I believe, has answered the call of God on his life. Some years ago, he and his dear wife Betty came to our church. He came in, he sat down with me, he said, "Preacher, I believe this is where God wants us to spend our lives." He said, "I do not have lots of talents," he said, "but there's something that I know how to do." And he said, "I will give myself in any capacity that you would like to help to care for the grounds of this church." He said, "I would like to make it beautiful. I'd like to keep it up. I'd like to work and make it so that we'll be very, very proud of what God's given us." And you know what? That's what he's done. I believe that God called Butch Berman to rally a group of people to serve God in the capacity that he is serving. I really believe this man answered God's call upon his life. Thank you, Brother Butch. Mrs. Lawrence, where are you? Stand up for a second. Mrs. Lawrence and I, when I became the pastor here, she and I, we sat down and talked. She was teaching, I think, a sixth grade girl Sunday school class. And Mrs. Lawrence been in this church for many, many years. One day I called her in. I said, "Mrs. Lawrence, I have an idea." I said, "I really believe that God would like to use you to help other ladies." And I said, I think if you would, ma'am," I said, "I wish you'd pray about and think about. I'd like for you to give up your sixth grade girls' Sunday school class." She started to cry. She started to cry. She said, "I love my class." I said, "But I really believe that God could use you to influence adult ladies, and I think you could build a great Sunday school class. And by the way, I believe you answered God's call for your life." There's somebody that's answered God's call. Thank you so very much. Brother Young, stand up for a second, if you will. These people, I had no idea that I would mention them today. I remember many years ago, I received a phone call from a guy named Rick Young. Didn't even really know of him. He knew of me. He said, "Brother Owens, I'm thinking about moving my family to your area. I'm looking for a place. I want to rear my family, and I want to serve God. And he said, I'm looking for a place. We're going to come by and visit you. And they did. Went to some other churches, traveled across the country, called me back. He said, I really believe God wants me to move to your area. He didn't come here to get a job. He said, all we want to do is we want to come to your church, and we want to serve God, and we want to fulfill the purpose for which God has put us on this earth. I think you found it. I think he found it. I really do. If you're in this church and you know Rick Young, I believe he's right smack dab in the center of God's will. I think God had put a call upon your life, and you found it. I don't mean this, and Brother Young, this is a little bit of an intimate conversation that you and I have had. Brother Young had gone to Minnesota and started a church and did a fine job, established the church. He came here after leaving that church, and that church is doing fine. I mean, he built a work there, and it's doing fine. But he said to me, after working on staff here as an assistant pastor, he said to me, he said, Brother Owens, he said, I've never felt more fulfilled. He said, I wonder if years and years ago, maybe God wanted me to be an assistant pastor in the first place. You know what, Brother Young? That's how it feels when you answer the call of God. The call of God. Thank you so much. Mrs. Kane, would you please stand up for just a second? Mrs. Joan Kane, she's back there in the backslider section of the church. What are you laughing at, Ed Davis? That's where you've sat for years. That's why we named it that. Mrs. Joan Kane, what a sweet, godly lady. I'll tell you this, Mrs. Kane, I really believe this. I believe that you have answered God's call in your life. That gal, you take the teenage girls of this church and the young ladies that help in the cheerleading program. I believe, Mrs. Kane, I believe God called you to do it. When I asked Mrs. Kane to go to work with the cheerleaders, she does this fluttering thing with her eyes and things, and she, well, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. Y'all seen her do that before? She was in my office, and she said, preacher, she said, I'm not as young as I used to be. And she said, I'm not of good health, and I'm not sure I could do it. Every young lady that has ever sat under the administration of Joan Kane came out of the cheerleading program 10 times better of a Christian than when they went in. You see, Mrs. Kane, I do believe that God placed a call upon your life, and I think you found something. I think you discovered a jewel. I think you found the treasure of great price. You found the will of God, and I thank God for you. I was a 16-year-old boy. I had no idea. But when I got in my car and I drove down the highway, I was going to an old-fashioned tent meeting. That tent meeting, a preacher would get up, an evangelist would get up, he'd play his banjo and sing, and he would preach. I had no idea, no earthly idea, that I would sit in that tent meeting and listen to him preach. And when the end of the sermon came, he began to talk about God's call upon a young man to be a preacher. I didn't have any idea. As he spoke, it's as if God reached down into my heart and said, I want you, young man. Oh, I had many of opportunities. I could have gone into business with my family. But that day, in that tent, when the preacher gave the invitation and said, I believe God is calling some young man to be a preacher. Brother Nash, I got up out of my seat and I walked down the aisle and I thought, what am I doing? I didn't come here for this, and this was not the plan. I went down front and I got on my knees, and that old preacher came and said, son, what are you coming for? I said, I think I'm the one you were talking about. I think God's calling me. He put his sweaty arm around me. I'll never forget it. He'd been preaching, no air conditioning in that tent. He put his sweaty arm around me and he prayed and he said, God, I think you've placed your call upon a boy. My life has never been the same. Now, the will of God for you may not be that you've been called to preach. But you have been called to something. No human being has ever been created without God placing a call upon their life. Whatever God has called you to do in the spiritual arena, it is as big and it is as important as the call that He placed upon me. God did not call you to do what He called me to do. And God did not call me to do what He's called you to do. But I know God called me. And I know God has called you. Maybe the only difference today is I surrendered to the call. I chose to listen when He called. You say, well, what in the world does it mean to be called? Well, it's just what you would think. It's God calling upon you to do something for Him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1. I looked up and studied that word called with a bit of a microscope, and I found that it means it's your orders. The call is your orders from God. It's your spiritual work order. If you've ever worked in a factory, they often will print out a work order and they hand it to you and say, now you build this or you make this or you follow this. This is what you're supposed to do with your time. And everybody here, God has something for you to do for God. And you need to find out what that is, and you need to do it. I am going to tell you something. I heard them sing the song a little earlier about how God is good to us, even in the valley. I'll tell you something. I can tell you how you will discover that God's even good in the valley. He is good in the valley, especially when you're in God's will. Because sometimes it is God's will that you be in the valley. But it's a wonderful thing when you're in the will of God and burdens and heartaches come. Hey, if you have answered the call, God's good even in that valley. Even in that valley. You know, there are some causes for which we have all been called. I believe every Christian is called to be a soul winner. Some people say, well, nah, that's just for the church staff. No, every Christian should tell people about Jesus Christ. Every Christian is to help try to feed the hungry. Every Christian is to help clothe the naked. There are some things that we're just supposed to do as Christians. But I also believe there are some special things we're to do. We each have a special calling for which we were created. God wants you to do something for Him. Have you found it? Are you doing it? I really believe there are some Sunday school teachers that could say, you know, I think I've stumbled onto it, and I'm doing what God called me to do in the church, Brother Owens. I think I found that. My staff would tell you I'm in a constant search and helping to try to put people together with opportunities in the church so that they can have that fulfilled feeling of doing what God has called them to do. God wants you to do something for Him. Are you? Do you seek that calling? Or do you desire it? Are you anxiously awaiting His call? Hey, if God called this morning, how would you handle it? Some of you, I guarantee it, some of you would look at the caller ID and say, it's God, I'm not picking up. I'm not picking up. Some here with, you know, you're on the line with somebody else's will, so you can thank God you have a call waiting. The ID says it's God, and you say, well, I've got some other things in mind. I'll just keep talking to ones I'm talking to. I'm not going to talk to God. Some of you let God put His message on your answering machine, and just so you know, He has. You've been in church time after time after time, and there are things that God wants you to do for Him. And you know what He has to do? He's just got to put His request on your memory bank. He's got to put His request on your answering machine, because you don't plan on answering. It's like this. Your answering machine reads, yes, this is Joe. I know you're calling again. Leave your message. I'll get to it when I have time. That's how some of you are with the call of God. You have no intention of doing what God wants you to do, but what does it mean to be called? God has a work order. He has a purpose for your life. Now, I want you to realize something. So first of all, what is the call? It's your work order. But the call is from God. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. And the same God that called Jacob by name has called you by name. And I want you to realize something. This is God's call. God's call. The call is from God. The one that created you. Look, you did not dream up you. God did. You did not create you. God did. Now all of us need to get back to the very beginning of your creation. You were created by God for something. And the call on your life comes from the originator of your purpose and what you are. Listen to the call of God. But we too often listen to the call of ourselves. We do what we want to do and then give God credit for it. Many go after their dreams and then try to call them God's dreams. Be careful. You cannot call you. God does the calling. God knows the purpose. God has the original blueprint. You see, we too often listen to the call of ourselves. We too often listen to the call of our friends. Peer pressure that leads people away from God. Peer pressure instead of God pressure. I've watched person after person after person walk away from God's call upon their life because of friendships. Friendships. Friendships pull them away from the call of God. Friendships that pull them out of the will of God. People that were very happily serving God. And they got with some friends that pulled them away from the call of God on their life. And now that fulfilled feeling is not anymore. Hey, you're going to find the happiest times of your life are when you are doing what you were called to do. We are all going to go through some trial. We're all going to go through some heartache. And life is going to be that way, but I'm going to tell you something. You will find yourself happiest. And if you are miserable 24/7, you may not be doing what you're called to do. You need to find, what is that? What has God called you to do in the church? We too often listen to the call of ourselves or the call of our friends or the call of family. And I love family and I respect family and I promote family. But you know something? You won't find peace by letting your family call you. God's got to call you. We need to become what God wants us to become. I'm glad all of us have dreams for each other, but let me tell you something. This is my son, JV. Stand up here. He married my daughter. And I love having you guys in this church. But I'll promise you, if for some reason, JV, God ever calls you away, I want you in the will of God more than I want you with me. I want that. I want that young man and my daughter and my future grandchildren. I want them in the will of God, not in the will of Jeff Owens. Some of you parents are going to make your children miserable because you have a will of God for their life. I've got news for you. God has a will of God for their life. It is not your right to decide that. You did not create them. And don't you go taking credit for it. You would not have created one single child had it not been for the intervention of Almighty God. Parents, you can overparent to the point where you take the Heavenly Father's place. It's not your will. It's God's will. Thank you, Brother Ellswick. I'm talking to you about the call. The call. The call. And we want to listen to the call of ourselves and the call of friends and the call of family. Men, we mistakenly, the further away from God you get, the more you listen to the call of the world. Making money, looking successful, being important in somebody's eyes. We listen to the call of the devil. The world looks exciting and we want to please the flesh and live the wild life, the Hollywood life. We listen to the call of our pride. I'm my own man. I'll do what I want. Nobody can control me. Anybody with that idea will never fulfill the call of God on your life. Please listen to the call of God and turn your ears off to all the other calls. I say, first of all, what does it mean to be called? It means your work orders, the reason you're here. Secondly, that call is from God. That call is not from ourselves or our friends or our family or the world or the devil or our pride. Hey, and let me remind you this. The call is not only from God, it's for God. It's for God. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the God of all grace who hath called us unto His eternal glory." Here the Bible says, He is to get glory from our call. We are called unto His eternal glory. You see, your service to God, the spiritual purpose for which you were created, was that you were not created to bring glory to yourself in that call, but you were created to bring glory to God in that call. You know, some people are looking for the position in the church that will get them the most glory. That's not God's call. God's call is when God gets credit. God's call is when God gets glory. God's call is when God is exalted. God's call is when God is placed on a pedestal. Too many people want a position in the church so everybody can look at them and they can get glory. I apologize to you, but the Bible teaches the call of God on the Christian's life is all about God's glory. God's glory. Hey, we are called to do His will and fulfill His purpose. We are to do what we are to promote Him, not ourselves. The calling lifts up Him, not me. His calling in your life is for His good. You know something? You say, well, I want whatever's good for my life. You better want whatever is good for God. You know, we ought to have the attitude that even if what I want, we ought to have the attitude if what God wants doesn't seem so good for me, I'm going to give God what He wants instead of what I want. His call in your life makes His work a success. His call in your life benefits His goals. Many miss the call because they want glory and promotion and success for themselves instead of being called for His glory. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, is there, Christian? That God says to you, what you do for me is to be done for my glory, not your own. Seems like that'd be okay. Seems like that's what a good Christian would want. The Bible says, and we learn here today, that all of us are called to do something for God. And you remember, just as much as God placed a call on my life to be a pastor, I believe God called me to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I realize that this church voted for me. That's not anywhere in the Bible, just so you know. I know they voted for me, and I got a 98% affirmative vote. But I've got news for you. I don't believe that was the primary call. I believe the real call was from God. Yes, indeed. You as a congregation called me, but I hope that we can see by the number of souls that have been saved and the influence that God has placed upon our ministry, it must have been a call from God. And my call is important to me, but my call is no more important to God than your call is to you. You want me to fulfill my purpose as pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You want me to fulfill the call's purpose. But wait a minute. God wants you to fulfill your purpose for being in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Your purpose. Hey, God called you. If all of us will do what God called us to do, the gates of hell cannot prevent what this church will do. But you see, of course, we've been called. What does it mean to be called? It's our work orders, our purpose for being here. And that work order comes from God. And the work order's purpose is to glorify God. It's for God. The Bible tells us it's a high calling. A high calling. Philippians 3:14 says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This calling of serving God, this calling where God has something for you to do, you were created for a purpose, it is a high calling. Say, what does that mean? It is higher than everything else that you do. It is the high calling. Look, I believe you better go to work and you better work hard and you need to do all the things that this world and society and the economy requires of us, but you better remember something. The spiritual purpose for which you were created is your high calling. That's your high calling. And here, Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Hey, if you will stop and find what God has called you to do, it's a prize, it's a jewel, but it's a high calling. Notice it is the high calling of God. Our own calling is not the high calling. If you pick something and say that that's the will of God for me, or that's what I want to do, you ought to be doing what God wants you to do. If you have chosen your own calling, that's not the high calling. That's not the high calling. Our friend's calling is not the high calling. Our family's calling is not the high calling. The world's calling is not the high calling. The devil's calling is not the high calling. God's calling is the high calling because it accomplishes eternal purposes. When it was time for me to go into the ministry, I got called to preach when I was 16. I was offered scholarship to play basketball and go to a secular university and get a degree. You know, my grandfather was a very wealthy man. He owned many, many businesses. The whole plan is that I would inherit the businesses. My grandfather said, Jeff, you have a very strong mind, a very capable mind. You understand success. You understand people. He said, Jeff, I'm gonna give you the businesses, and all I want you to do is I want you to give Grandma enough money to live off of, and I think you can keep the family businesses going. Let me explain something to you. When I was trying to explain to my family that I would not take the free ride to play basketball and I would not take the free ride and take over the family businesses, but I was going to go to Bible college and I was going to go off, and they said, well, how much money are you going to make doing that? What kind of career is that? How many people from a high school are doing that? You know something? There's a problem. I wanted the high calling. Not everybody understands the high calling. And you can't expect everybody to understand it. Some of you that say, I couldn't have worked on Saturday, but you know something? My high calling is my bus route. That which God has called you to do, that which God has called me to do, that's our high calling. It is the highest, the biggest, the most important thing for you to do with your life. Don't let anything take the place of that. Don't let it happen. It's the high calling. Why is it high, Brother Owens? Because it is an eternal purpose. That high calling, it's that lasting purpose. You know, so many of the things that we do in this life, they're not going to amount to a hill of beans when we get to heaven. But your high calling will mean everything. Your high calling is what's going to count. You know, I know some of you won't understand this, but did you know that your secular job is only a means to your purpose? That's all it is. We go out and earn money during the week so we can take care of our family, so we can do what? Serve our God. So God gives you a job, He says, go make your money, and then make sure that you don't let that take the place of your high calling, your spiritual purpose for being alive. You see, God's calling is a high calling because it accomplishes the most pure of purposes. It's eternal. It's lasting. It's holy. The high calling of God is a holy and clean calling. God's purpose for your life is a high calling, and it is the highest of calling. A high calling means higher than the other projects of life. A high calling means the things of God are bigger and more important than the other things of this life. The most important thing for you to do with your life is to find God's calling and make it a high calling. There's some that say, well, I think I found what I'm supposed to do, but you've not made it your high calling yet. It's just a calling. Just a calling. Well, just so you know, I feel like my calling is a high calling. You say, oh, I know, preacher, but you're the man of God, and you're the preacher. Listen, it is not the matter that I am the preacher, and therefore my calling is a high calling. It is the matter that I feel like being in the will of God spiritually is the most important thing in my whole life. I'll tell you this. If I were working, I worked in the machine shop for many, many years, ran lathes and mills. If I worked in a machine shop today, but I taught an adult Sunday school class, I would go to work, I'd do all my work I was supposed to do at the machine shop, I would honor God in my work, but then when I tore into that Sunday school class, I'd realize, like, here's my high calling. God gave me a job so I could use that job. God gave me a body so I could use that body. God gave me some food. I'll use that food. God gave me some air. I'll use that air. But the whole purpose is to fulfill the high calling of God upon my life. And so make sure that you understand it's a high calling. It's a high calling. The calling is God's work orders for your life. The calling is from God. The calling is for God. The calling is a high calling. Hey, to find your calling, you're going to have some fellowship with God and fellowship with people in the church. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, here God said, there are a couple things that you need to be unified with or close to if you're going to find His calling. First of all, He says, you better get close to me, my Son. 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, called unto the fellowship of His Son. If you don't get along with Jesus well, you're not going to find the calling of Jesus upon your life. You need to truly get close to Him. You say, well, how do I do that? You need to read your Bible and obey it. You need to pray. You need to tell others about Christ. You need to be faithful to church. You need to surrender yourself to the Holy Spirit, Christian. Those things will get you close to Him. You say, why do I want to be close to Him? Because He's the one that knows your work orders. The reason why some of you don't know what God wants you to do, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you never tell anybody about Jesus, you come into church, you plunker down, you let somebody else try to be spiritual for you, and you're saying, well, what am I supposed to do with my life? Why am I so confused? Get close to the one that writes the work order. If you'll get close to the one who created you, He knows exactly what you're to do in the church, He knows exactly what you're to do for the kingdom of God. You've got to be unified with Him, but here's the thing. He then goes on in verse number 10, the very next verse, and he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Hey, churches and people and the people of God who stay unified and people that are for unity and that get along with each other are more apt to fulfill the call of God on their life. He said, first of all, you better get close to me. Then he said, you better get close to the other team players. You see, the church is a unit of people. We're a family. We're a team. We're getting ready to start our baseball league. There's nothing like having a player on the team that won't participate with the team. You just have a boy that's playing shortstop and the ball's hit to him and he's supposed to throw a guy out at first and he throws it out into the center field. It won't be long until the coach is going to take that shortstop out and say, we're going to get somebody that is a team player. And God said, if you get close to me, I've got your work orders, then you're going to have to get close to the rest of the team because you will not fulfill the call on your life if you're an independent-minded, full of pride, egotistical person that can't play in the unit. You can go to churches all over the place that are doing nothing for God. They may have some people, but they can't get along with each other. And because they can't get along with each other, we're not fulfilling the call of God on the individuals in the church. I'll just guarantee it. That's exactly what God is telling us here. We have been called. We've been called to be close to God. We have been called, appointed to be close to each other because we are playing on a team. It's God's team. It's God's family. It's God's church. And it's not all about you. It's all about Him. That's why sometimes we need to put our petty feelings aside and say, you know what? That might have hurt me a little bit and I didn't quite understand that. That didn't go my way, but I'm a part of the team and I want to play right. I want to stay in the will of God. More people leave the church because they can't get along with you or you can't get along with them than they leave because of the doctrine of the church. And they walk right out of the will of God. Right out of the will of God. Hey, I'm telling you, it says here in 1 Corinthians 1:10, it begins to say that we all speak the same thing, that there's no division among us, but you'd be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. People who are not unified don't usually find their calling. If you can't get along with the church members and get truly close, like you're supposed to get along with everybody else, you won't find your calling. There's some of you, I'll tell you right now, why you feel unfulfilled in your Christian life. You can't get along with some people at the church. It's got you miserable. And you're not finding what God wants you to do. Disunity distracts people from their calling. Again, verse 10, it says, all speak the same thing. There be no division, perfectly joined, in the same mind, in the same judgment. What's he saying? If you get close to God, if we'll all get close to God and get unified with Him, there should be no reason why we can't get along with each other. But if you can't get along with God, you won't get along with anybody else. If you won't get along with anybody else, you're not going to find what God had for you because you've got to be a team player to be a part of God's team. That's exactly what he's saying. I have never seen anyone who couldn't get along with church members fulfill God's call in their life. Ever. Matter of fact, I've even seen pastors that somehow they've never honed their skill with people. They got to jump from church to church to church to church, trying to figure out how to get along with the team. They have never truly answered the total call. They've never fulfilled the call. And I've watched church members go from church after church after church after church after church, and they're just looking for what God wants them to do. God called them a long time ago. Their problem is they can't get along with the team members. Hey, to find your calling, You have got to make sure that you're careful to fellowship closely with God and careful in how you handle and deal with the people of God. When people seek their calling and have been right with their pastor and right with their church, hey, it makes it far easier to find your calling. You say, I wonder what God would have me to do with my life. Number one, make sure you're as close to God as you've ever been. Number two, make sure you're close to God's people. I would even recommend you're close to God's pastor. I would recommend you're close to the church leadership. Then you'll find out. The people in here, if I had everybody stand right now, who would say, I feel like I am answering the call. I feel like I am fulfilling the purpose for which God has created me. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I almost guarantee you that they would say, I've got a decent relationship with God. I've got a decent relationship with my pastor. And I seem to get along with the people at the church. That's who the happy ones would be. And then you'll find the ones that don't do those things, and they're saying, well, I don't really know what God wants me to do, and I better shop around until I find a church where God, you know, God has called me to. See, have you ever noticed that so many people destroy their lives? Why? Because they're not close to God and close to God's people. I know an assistant pastor in a church, I guarantee you, I feel like he was in the place where God wanted him to be years ago. I mean, I would go there and I thought, boy, this guy is a perfect match for his pastor. He's a perfect match for this part of the country. He's a perfect match for this church. But every time I went there, there was somebody he wasn't getting along with. Within 2 years, he called me and said, you know, I'm just not going to make it here. I just can't do it here. And the problem was not the pastor. The problem was not the church. The problem was that guy couldn't get along with people. He was always griping about somebody. It was always somebody else's fault. Never could get along with anybody. And you know what I think I watched him do? Walk straight out of the will of God. Not because that pastor had preached false doctrine. He walked away from what I think his primary call was. Just because he couldn't get along with people. I watched a lady who couldn't have been in God's will more walk away from it. Why? She couldn't be a team player. Watched it happen time and time again. I have watched many people lose or leave God's calling because they couldn't get along with somebody at the church. People who sow discord among the brethren hurt God's call upon their own lives and the call on others. Remember, we are called to have a close fellowship with God, and then we are called to have a fellowship or a unity within the church. And if you have that close fellowship with God, you're going to have that close fellowship with your fellow brother, and you become a part of the team, and then you figure out where you fit into the team. People that can't figure out where they fit into the team probably have one or two things missing. Either they're not getting along with the team captain or the team players, or they're not getting along with God. Because I'll promise you, you show me a boy that can play shortstop. When it's time to throw the ball to first base, he does. When the coach says, throw it to second base, and he does. And he shows up for practice, and he gets along with the other team players. I'll guarantee you that boy's important on the team. And he will feel fulfilled at what he is doing. So this thing of being called, everybody here has been called. You have been called to do something for God. You have been called to fulfill a purpose. And that call is from God. That call is not from yourself. It's not from your friends. It's not from family. It's not from the world. It's not from the devil. It's not from your pride. You've been called. And you've been called for God. It is not, that call is not for you to glorify you or for you to be uplifted. Hey, you will succeed if you do what God's called you to do. But it's not all about your success. It's all about His success. And so the call is from Him, and that call is for Him, and that call is a high calling. It is the highest element of your life. And to find that calling, you got to get close to the one who created you, the one that prepared your work order. Then he said, you better learn how to be a team player. You better learn how to get along with flawed people. You better learn, hey, sinner, God said, you better learn how to get along with sinners. Because if sinners can't get along with sinners, it's not going to work out very well. And then to find your calling, he said, you're going to have to walk in the light, not in the darkness. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Let me say, If you want to fulfill the purpose for which you're called, you need to get out of the darkness and into the light. Now, obviously, this refers to salvation. Jesus is the light of the world. You trust the light of the world, that's one of your first steps. Hey, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. God has called you to do something. But your first step is to get saved. He will enlighten you about what He wants you to do with your life after you get saved. But then, Christian, you and I, we are then to live our life by the same principle. Here the Bible says, get out of the darkness, into the light. Go from lost to saved, out of the darkness of not trusting Christ, into the light of having trusted Christ. Then, why don't we live that way? We're called out of darkness. I'm going to tell you again. If you're here today and you say, Brother Owens, I want to fulfill the call of God. Whatever it is that God wants me to do. And again, I'm not talking about the call to the mission field necessarily, but that might be it. I'm not talking necessarily about the call to the pastorate or I'm talking about your call, the call upon your life, that high calling, the reason God has you in the church, the reason that God left you alive after He saved you. I'm talking about that. But you're never going to find it if you don't do it. You're going to have to fulfill the responsibility. You say, what is there? Well, you need to come out of the darkness into the light. We are to separate from wrong and the dark deeds of the flesh if we're going to fulfill the call. Now, nobody ever cleans themselves up completely. We all know that. But I'll tell you are less apt to find the call of God on your life when you live in the world, when you choose to live in sin. You're going to have to separate from worldliness, and then you're more apt to fulfill the call that's on your life. You give up the way the world talks. You give up the world's music, and you give up your worldly goals and your worldly clothing and heroes and entertainments and philosophies and ways. Again, you go around this church and look for the people who feel like in some way they are fulfilling God's call on their life, and you will find out they have also separated from darkness and come into light. They have left some things behind in their life, and they've come over and said, you know what, I'll clean my life up. Why? Because you and I, the Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. God has called you to do something, and God said, I want you to do something. That is the highest thing you could do with your life, and I'm going to expect you to clean up your life so that you can accomplish the thing that I gave you to do. All sorts of people want to come into the church and get all these positions, do all these things, but they don't want to change their life for God. They want to live like the world and fulfill the call of God on their life, and you can't do it. Every preacher here, let me tell you something. If you want the power of God on your life, then you'd be willing to stand up and say what's right. You'd be willing to preach the truth. You'd be willing to separate from the liberal dogs out there in Christianity. You stand up and you preach the truth, and you preach, thus saith the Lord. Then you go to God and say, God, I want your power on my life. And God will say, you are walking worthy of the vocation for which you have been called. I'll bless you, son. But if you think you're going to hobnob with the liberal world, preach like all the guys do on the television, and if you think that you can just make everybody happy with everything that you say, you will not fulfill the call of God on your life as a true, blue, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, hell-raising Baptist preacher. You can't do it and stay in the world. You've got to pay a price. Hey, and if you want to be what you're supposed to be, there's a price for you to pay too. There are some of you who say, well, I think God's called me. I think I found it. It's my Sunday school class. Are you separating from the darkness and coming into the light so God can really bless that thing? You say, it's my bus route. Are you separating from those things that would hinder the call from being totally fulfilled? You need to be willing to separate to fulfill God's call. I never found anybody who has found God's calling for their life but would not separate that succeeded. You will succeed on God's call by living God's way. That's one of the reasons why some of you need to change your life. God's called you to do something. Say, I don't feel qualified. God wants you to get qualified. None of us qualify completely, but He wants to see in your heart that you're willing to take the sin out of your life. Hey, whether it is a sin of a worldly, nasty lifestyle, or you're two-faced, or you're a gossip, or whatever it is, you will never be used of God unless you start separating from some things. Sorry, I wish I could tell you that you just live any way you want and God will bless you and you'll be happy. But that's not the truth. That is not the truth. The Bible says we're called unto liberty. We are called unto liberty. says in Galatians 5, verse 13 and 15, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Here the Bible says we are called unto liberty. What's that liberty? That's a freedom. Now God says here that liberty is not to be used as an occasion of the flesh. Those are, you know, some people say, well, if you get saved because you're saved by grace, you can live any way you want. That's not what that says. The Bible says when you get saved that you are not to use the liberty God has given you as an occasion for your flesh to sin. You're not supposed to be walking around and say, well, I can do anything I want. I'm saved by grace. You're not to have that attitude. God said that's a wicked attitude. That's a wrong attitude. You may be saved, but you are wrong for thinking that and wrong for acting that way. You give the grace of God a bad name. The Bible says here, this freedom that you and I have been given, it's not a freedom to live any way we want. It's a freedom to live the way He wants so we can love people right. Listen, for brethren, ye have been called into liberty. Only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That means pleasing your flesh. I can do anything I want. I can live any way I want. I'll never lose my salvation. God says, you are one of the most immature Christians I've ever met. And then He goes on and says, but by love serve one another. God said, I will give you liberty. You clean yourself up and I want to use you to love people. See, folks, the calling that God has placed on your life is about other people. Only two things really count in this life, your relationship with God and your relationship with people. Right. And if you say, well, I really have a good relationship with God, then you will be doing something good for people. Right. If you're doing nothing for people spiritually, you're a liar about being that close to God. I do not believe that. I don't believe somebody that only takes care of themselves is truly close to God. That is not the God that I know. That is not the God of that book. People that are close to Him take care of and love those that are most important to Him. You see, we're called to what? To love. It says in verse 13 here of Galatians chapter 5, we're called to serve one another. We're called to love our neighbor. We're called, and we're not to, and He even tells us, if you're biting and devouring one another, you better take heed. You're getting out of the call. Do you love the lost? Do you love your fellow church members? If you're out to hurt anyone in this church, you're messing up your call. You are messing up your call. Do you love your enemy? It ought not be so that two people attend the same church and are enemies. That ought not be so, brethren. You're not as close to God as what you think. Do you love some new church member, some new convert? We are called through the liberty of Christ to love one another. You've been called to love someone. Is there somebody not getting love because you don't give it? And let me make sure I qualify this, because there's some of you who say, well, I love my husband and I love my kids. So what? So do the lost people. We're talking about beyond the walls of your home. You see, the call. God has placed a call upon you and a call upon me. That call means our work order. The call is from God. The call is for God. The call is a high calling. The call, it is proven and it is prerequisited by your fellowship with God. Then your fellowship with God's people. To find that call, you need to come out of the darkness into the light. You start changing your life. You get away from the things that would hinder the call. We are called into liberty. The whole purpose of the call is to get us to love God and love one another. Then finally, and I'm done, the call really is in regard to the fight for the souls of men. Listen to this verse. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know what that means? We are all called to make a difference in regard to eternal life. We are all called to make a difference in regard to eternal life. I'll tell you, everybody here, listen to this very carefully. I'm glad that you do whatever you do around the church, whether it's mow the yard, whether it's run a vacuum cleaner, but there is no higher calling for all of us than that of keeping people out of hell. None. The whole process of the calling of God is all about the souls of men. We fight the good fight for faith in Christ. We take hold on eternal life. We're in two. We're called. We're all called to fight for eternal life. Hey, that's one reason Brother Owens throws a fit about the church behaving itself and getting along with each other. Why? The souls of men are at stake. Your petty little differences are not the deal. The deal is somebody's going to walk in the back door of this church someday and they find two church members that can't get along and they gossip and they backstab and they do all of that, and that lost person's going to say, I don't feel the love of Christ around here. I don't see what's different about this place in the world. I've got to protect the souls of men. You get a rotten spirit in a church, people start dying, going to hell. They'll start rejecting the bitter, nasty attitude of the people in the church, and God will take His hand off the church and God will say, hey, I'll bless somebody else. But listen, you and I, it's all about the souls of men. Why do I need to keep myself right with God? Because people won't get saved if I'm wrong with God. Why do you need to keep yourself right with God? Because people won't be saved if we don't do what we're supposed to do. Why do you need to get along with that person that seems to be your enemy? Hey, it is the revival. It is the sake of God. It's the lost people. That's why we've got to do it. The battle's all about the souls of men. You just check all the callings. Every one of them contribute to the souls of men. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come. Now, what did He come for? Why in the world did the Son of Man come? What was God's calling upon His Son Jesus? Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why was He crucified? The souls of men. Why was He buried? The souls of men. Why did He live His life 33 and a half sinless years? The souls of men. Why was He born of a virgin? The souls of men. Why was He resurrected? The souls of men. Why was His blood shed? The souls of men. Why did He do what He did? The souls of men. And you and I need to realize something. We have been called and we have a purpose for our life. And when you add it all together, when you take my call and your 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 call, it's all to add up to keeping people out of hell. And when you don't do your part, somebody's going to die and go to hell because of it. The call. How important is the call to you? Why just don't get along with so-and-so? You're not in the will of God. You've missed your call. Fix it. Don't let anything hinder the call. The call. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, that's what Paul said. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. I had no idea when I pulled into that old tent meeting that when the invitation was given, that God's call would be made so crystal clear to me. But that night, I answered the call. God has an equally important call upon your life. Yours won't be like mine. Mine's not like yours. Are you going to answer it? Find it. Lock into it. Fight to keep yourself right with God. Bad thing is, anybody that walks away from an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, soul-winning Baptist church like this, so many just walk right away from the call that God placed on their life. I mean, somebody won't get saved as a result of it. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes.